This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Glynis Board. This morning, as we continue to barrel toward the general election this fall, we consider where the region's been and where it's going.
Oh, it's West Virginia. We got a job to do the energy. We and you need energy. We need energy.
This is West Virginia Morning.
Oh, it's West Virginia.
Democrats made their pitch to the American people last week at a largely virtual national convention. The party promised bold action on climate change and investment and support for communities that have long relied on fossil fuel extraction. Bernie Patterson checked in with regional advocates working toward this idea of a just transition to clean energy.
At the convention, Democrats pushed hard on climate change. The pitch? America can reach net zero greenhouse gas emissions no later than by 2050 by investing big in clean energy.
That's Joe's plan. Create millions of new good-paying jobs, many of them union, like mine. Invest in critical infrastructure.
That's IBEW journeyman Rob Bear of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, narrating a video on presidential nominee Joe Biden's climate plan that aired on night three of the convention. Democrats framed solving the climate crisis as an opportunity. The party's platform includes a commitment to addressing environmental justice. That includes empowering and standing with workers and communities from traditionally coal-reliant regions like Appalachia that have for decades powered this nation. The idea of a just transition has been gaining momentum. In recent months, multiple regional coalitions have emerged with policy blueprints aimed at putting Appalachia and its needs front and center in the budding national conversation. Amanda Woodrum is the co-director of one of these projects, Reimagine Appalachia.
There's a lot of really great stuff in this platform that we're excited about.
Things like investing 40% of the plan's estimated $2 trillion cost in vulnerable communities, recognizing that coal miners and power plant workers will be impacted as the economy shifts toward more clean energy, and an explicit call out for protecting retirees' health and pension benefits.
One of my concerns, though, is that it only actually mentions Appalachia once. And we believe that there needs to be a concentrated and focused effort on what the needs are of Appalachia.
Brandon Dennison runs the nonprofit Coalfield Development in Southern West Virginia. The group is dedicated to rebuilding the region's economy in sustainable ways. He too sees promise in the Democrats' platform, but this isn't the first time politicians have made promises to the region.
So it's a good start, but will it resonate? You know, the proof will have to be in the pudding, so to speak.
Regional advocates say one important way policymakers can continue this conversation is to listen to and seek out the opinions of those working on a just transition locally. Joanne Kilgour is executive director of the Ohio River Valley Institute, a new think tank. She says one-size-fits-all policy won't work.
It's very clear to me that the needs of workers and working families in the Ohio River Valley is very different from the needs of workers and working families in other parts of the country.
More details would also please the United Mine Workers of America, which has been involved in conversations with the Biden campaign. Spokesperson Phil Smith says the union fully acknowledges the country is moving away from coal toward cleaner energy. But the bulk of solar jobs, for example, are not good union jobs, as the Biden ticket promises.
There are some in the Democratic Party hierarchy who buy into the notion that we can just set up a commission and everything will be fine. And we can, you know, spend money, just send money and train people to do something else and everything will be fine. That's not going to work. That is not a transition. That is a pushing a problem away.
Coal was a hot button topic in 2016. Candidates have about 2 months to share their plans. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Brittany Patterson.
The Ohio Valley Resource is made possible with the support of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Now, we just heard the first in a series of stories revisiting themes in the Ohio Valley Resource's book, Appalachian Fall. We'll hear more about that project in just a minute. But since we're on the subject of economic shifts towards renewable energy in the region, interesting development in southwest Pennsylvania, the former site of one of Pittsburgh's most productive steel mills is now home to the largest solar array of its kind in the United States. For State Impact Pennsylvania, Kylie Kaczynski reports the companies that operate out of the former LTV Coke Works in Hazelwood are now fully solar powered.
Looking at the single-sloped roof of solar panels that now sit on top of Mill 19, you might think it's all one big piece. But Scalo Solar's Vice President and General Manager Mike Carnahan says crews clamped nearly 5,000 solar panels across the quarter-mile-long building frame, a process that began last September.
We put this one thing on there, and it looked like a postage stamp. It was just so tiny, and the guys are sitting there going, how much do we have to do?
The final panels were clamped in at the end of July. Carnahan says crews might have finished sooner if not for a pause in the project due to the coronavirus. The solar panels will power the entire facility, which currently houses two Carnegie Mellon University manufacturing initiatives and Aptiv, an autonomous vehicle developer. A ceremonial switch-flipping celebration is forthcoming, but Carnahan says businesses in the facility can begin saving on their energy bills now. Kylie Kaczynski, State Impact, Pennsylvania.
Appalachia has many strengths and faces many unique challenges. Some of those are addressed in a new book produced by the Ohio Valley Resource, which is a public media reporting collaborative made up of reporters from West Virginia, Ohio, and Kentucky. The book is titled Appalachian Fall: Dispatches from Coal Country on What's Ailing America. It's based on the collective's news reporting on topics such as the miners' strike in Harlan County, Kentucky, hemp farming, and mountaintop removal. Appalachia is often written off or portrayed with hillbilly stereotypes, but this book seeks to show how the challenges and solutions found here in this region are bellwether for the rest of the country. Eric Douglas spoke with Jeff Young and Brittany Patterson about the book and some of the stories in it.
In the preface to the book, or the beginning of the book, you mentioned the concept that West Virginia or that Central Appalachia is coal. Is that mentality that we are coal and there's nothing else here? Where does that come from?
So the memory that kept coming back to me from childhood growing up in Wayne County, West Virginia, was watching television and this ad that I'm sure a lot of listeners will remember. And it showed coal mining as this very heroic undertaking, which it is in many ways. And there was this swelling chorus, and it said, And you think about that for a moment. It is West Virginia. That's a pretty powerful statement. It's not like, oh yeah, we're a big part of it. No, we are West Virginia, is what they were saying. As I got older and then started reporting on coal, that whole concept always stuck with me. It's like, what are we if we're not coal here in West Virginia? There clearly is more to West Virginia than just coal. And coal is clearly a big part of our economy and our history, and it's woven into the fabric of our state's society. But it's time that we figure out what we are other than just producing coal for the rest of the country.
Brittany, what are some of the most notable parts for you in the book and of your own reporting?
Everyone knows that news doesn't just stop at a state line or a border. And I think especially in a region that's as closely knit together as the Ohio Valley or Appalachia, I think you find a lot of similarities. It's really awesome to be able to compare projects that might be happening in one state and sort of shed light on that you know, folks in other places in the region might be able to use or to learn from.
Are a lot of the stories that you work on collaborative efforts, or is it or is it just this story, but then it's shared throughout the seven member stations?
for the Black Jewel stuff, I mean, Sydney had about a 45-minute drive over the mountain, if I remember, to get to the campsite in Harlan County, Kentucky. She was able to spend a lot of time out there, which was really invaluable, and make a lot of really strong connections with the people who were spending day and night protesting their lost wages. And I had the ability to, you know, get on the phone with the economists and to listen into the bankruptcy hearing calls and to go down to Charleston even and sit in some of those bankruptcy hearing cases. Together, I think it made a really strong reporting team.
Obviously, a lot of the book is on energy and energy issues specific to the energy and then the after effects on the human costs. Explain to me the concept of a just transition.
I think for coal-dependent communities, it would have to include some elements. It would have to start, I think, with a deep respect and acknowledgement for the contributions that that community has made for the nation as a whole. I mean, this is literally the region that powered America for a century. We wouldn't have defeated fascism. We wouldn't have had an industrial revolution. We wouldn't have had the most enviable economy on the globe without coal miners. And now what? Are we just going to treat them as disposable? That's fundamentally unfair. Now let's look at Martin County, Kentucky, for example. We have a chapter that's based on Martin County's experience with their inability to deliver clean water. They delivered billions and billions of dollars to the rest of the nation in mineral wealth, and now they can't afford to deliver reliable clean water to their citizens. How do we expect them to turn the corner and build new jobs and find new sources of revenue when they can't deliver clean drinking water?
I think fundamentally, just to add to that, you know, what we hear from, there's a growing number of groups that are really working on this idea, especially here in the region. And I think what we hear is that they want to be part of the conversation, first and foremost, is that they don't want, we don't want a prescription of we're going to do this and make everything better or different. It's listening to those who truly live in the region and understanding what it is that can, you know, what works for their communities.
The book is titled Appalachian Fall. Is there a message there, or what's the story behind that?
I landed on the title because in researching, especially the economic data and health data, I just kept thinking we're falling further behind. We're falling further behind. And the unfairness of it really comes through. Also, I think with fall, we are playing on the notion of seasonal cycles. And a fall is followed by other seasons and eventually a season of renewal. And I think that is very much a possibility for Appalachia.
That was Jeff Young and Brittany Patterson of the Ohio Valley Resource speaking with Eric Douglas about the new book, Appalachian Fall, Dispatches from Coal Country on What's Ailing America. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Andrea Billups is our news director. I'm your host and producer, Glynis Board. This is West Virginia Morning.